When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This is the LA Local Morning Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back this afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
The governor has vetoed a bill that would have required better tracking money spent on homelessness. The LAPD looking for a flash mob of bicyclists hitting up 7-Elevens. First, though, new rules in place at UCLA.
You could hear the collective groan this morning when the students said, oh, it's the first day. Oh, those early classes are so tough. They're tough, man. But they're filling up this morning at UCLA. Students going back, first day of classes. But yeah, at the university, they are taking steps, new rules in place to prevent any protest demonstrations from getting out of hand. Let's get more live from the scene and our John Baird.
I was here early that morning last May when police in riot gear went in and tore down the pro-Palestinian camp, and 200 people were arrested, 200 plus, including something like 90 students. It was really chaotic. But this morning, first day of school, it's calm and quiet with security guards everywhere. I have two of them, armed security guards, about 10 feet away from my car. I did talk to a freshman. There are, more security out right now than students walking around because classes haven't quite started yet. So I talked to a freshman, though, who is heading to his very first college class. Well, you're starting college. That's got to be fun.
It's very fun, but still a little nervous, nerve-wracking for the first class.
It's going to English this morning at 8 o'clock. Now, UCLA will be operating with new rules, as you mentioned, with designated free speech areas, but no camps allowed, no tents, no camps, and specific rules for campus events. I've been talking to students and staff members about what they expect this time around. Do you think it'll remain calm this year?
I'm hoping yes. With everything that happened before, I think they will definitely take precautions, to avoid anything getting really out of control.
And again, that's what most people have been telling me this morning, but UCLA has plans in place in case things are not calm. They have to follow orders, directives from the office of the UC president as to how they handle demonstrations. We've reached out to UCLA officials to see what the plan is.
Well, we'll stick with UCLA here. Judges ordered its baseball stadium to close its doors because it's on VA land. That stadium, of course, on the other side of the 405 from campus. Stadium, along with several other businesses, have leased land on the VA's West LA campus for decades. A recent ruling says the VA-owned land needs to be used to house and service veterans, which was its original intended use. Now, several ex-leaseholders, including UCLA, attended a hearing yesterday when UCLA could not provide ways its stadium could be used to help veterans, and that didn't satisfy the judge. He ordered it to be locked down starting today. The judge said, though, he is going to stop by the campus today to make sure his order is upheld. A private school, oil company, and other private businesses have also leased land on the campus.
It's really interesting because he gets pretty fiery. And like you said, he goes out to sites to see if things are happening
exactly
as the way he orders them. And during this hearing, he warned that he is on the verge of ordering the private Brentwood Schools Athletic Center, which is also on the grounds, bulldozed, and the swimming pool filled with sand unless the school handed over the land to be used and enjoyed by veterans. So this could heat up a little bit more today. So we'll see how that goes. We'll be checking on it. The governor has vetoed a bill that would have required the state to more closely monitor its spending on homeless programs and their outcomes. The bill was authored by a Republican assembly member, Josh Hoover, from suburban Sacramento, after an audit found the state didn't have the data to determine whether the billions already spent on homelessness have been cost effective. The governor released a statement saying he rejected the bill because he said that similar measures are already in place, including budget laws, which were approved earlier this year, that require regular reports on the state's two largest homelessness grant programs.
Well, here in L.A., a group of young thieves on bicycles been hitting up 7-Eleven stores in a series of flash robberies since July. The LAPD says they usually strike on Friday evening with at least 14 incidents reported so far, mainly in Hollywood, Wilshire, West LA area. Suspects rush into the stores, steal items, sometimes push witnesses. Police are investigating and increasing patrols at those stores so they can identify the thieves. So we've been telling you the first day of classes today, UCLA, some changes have been put in place to help protect Jewish students now following those pro-Palestinian protests on campus we saw last semester. But will this stuff work? Joining us live to discuss is ADL LA Regional Director Jeffrey Abrams.
Jeffrey, good morning.
Vicki, Brian, thank you for having me again.
So, yeah, last time there were students who said they couldn't get to their classes. They couldn't get to the libraries. And there were a lot of parents, I know Jewish parents, who were concerned, frankly, about sending their kids to UCLA at all. Are you going to have people on campus today? Are you going to go there? What's happening to find out, you know, how things are going?
Well, it's no surprise that the students you had on earlier this morning were expressing a great deal of concern. But notably, this isn't just Jewish students or Israeli students. This is the entire community. And by having these clear rules that have now come down from UC President Drake that are going to be enforced by the UCLA administration, my expectation, ADL's expectation, is that they will follow those policies. We won't be there on campus. That's not our goal, is to be some sort of grand oversight. It's to have relationships. So I've spoken to Interim Chancellor Darnell Hunt. We've communicated with UC Police. We've communicated with CHP, all with the hope and the expectation that all students, including Jews and Israeli students, will feel safe and secure on this campus, which is what UCLA is required by law to deliver.
Are these new measures, Jeffrey, is this going to be the new norm? Is this what we're going to see on campuses, maybe just not UCLA, until further notice?
Well, in many ways, it's not a new norm. It's enforcing time, place, and manner restrictions that previously exist but have been updated, not to prevent speech on campus. This is not the goal, but to make sure that there is safety for all. So having these type of bubble zones or First Amendment speech areas is an effort to protect. Hiding your identity behind a mask so you can intimidate, harass another person or student, that's simply not permitted. So First Amendment will exist and thrive, but it has to also be balanced with safety and security for the entire UCLA community.
You have certain expectations. What if they are not met? Is there some sort of hotline? I mean, what do students do if they have issues?
Well, I appreciate that. So if there are any issues, certainly you can report to ADL. One of the things we have is we've launched what is called CALL, which is a legal hotline, because there are laws that protect these students. Title VI of the Civil Rights Act provides that you cannot discriminate against students who are Jewish and Israeli. And around the country, ADL has filed on behalf of students Title VI claims with the Department of Education, Occidental, Pomona. It's not our hope here at UCLA, and UCLA also was subject to a lawsuit recently where there was a federal court order, an order that they must provide for a safe environment for Jewish and Israeli students.
Jeffrey Abrams, once again, thank you so much. ADL Los Angeles Regional Director there, Jeffrey Abrams.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
A strike by Boeing workers now being felt by a business in Orange County, and some high schoolers say they don't think, at least some of them say they don't think going to college is worth it. Those stories and more as 20 minutes of nonstop news continues.
It's 7:39. Well, U.S. attorney in Manhattan says it's going to announce significant public corruption charges this morning with an indictment against New York City Mayor Eric Adams. Expected to be unsealed, FBI agents served a search warrant this morning at the mayor's official residence and seized his phone. Adams said afterwards of the indictment when it came out that he was innocent and he would not resign.
If I am charged, many may say I should resign because I cannot manage the city while fighting the case. I can also understand how everyday New Yorkers would be concerned that I cannot do my job while I face accusation. But I have been facing these lies for months.
Now, for much of last year, Adam's been faced a growing legal peril with multiple federal investigations into top advisors, producing a drumbeat of subpoenas, searches, and high-level departures.
The union representing striking Boeing workers says contract talks should get going again tomorrow.
The union representing thousands of striking Boeing machinists says it will meet Friday with the company and the Federal Mediation and Conciliation Services to continue contract negotiations. Earlier this week, the union said a survey showed members were overwhelmingly against Boeing's latest pay proposal, which the company described as its best and final. More than 32,000 Boeing workers in the Seattle area and Portland, Oregon have been walking the picket line since September 13th. Jennifer Kuiper, CBS News.
Well, a family-run metal forging company in Orange that makes aluminum parts for Boeing for their 737 MAX, to be specific. They're struggling because of the striking machinists up in Washington, which is causing layoffs and financial uncertainty. Now, the strike affects the entire supply chain, and it's putting pressure on many smaller businesses like theirs. The OC Register reports the company relies heavily on Boeing for income, and without a solution, they fear more layoffs or even possibility of closing down.
You traveling soon? Here's something to think about the next time you recline your seat during a flight. Here's Chris Edens.
A couple who argued with a passenger who reclined her seat during a recent Cathay Pacific flight is now banned from the airline after a video went viral of them taunting the woman, using vulgar hand gestures and kicking her seat. Lisa Grotz is an etiquette expert known as the Golden Rules Gal.
I always say never engage or there could be rage. And 30,000 feet up in the sky, it's going to be a problem. So you never engage with any passenger, you go right to the flight crew. You just ring your buzzer and have them deal with it. But I mean, the only way to lean back with grace is really just to be polite about it. You know, skip it during mealtime. There's not really another time when you can't do it.
A statement from Cathay Pacific said, "We maintain a zero tolerance policy toward any behavior that violates safety regulations or disrespects other passengers' rights." I'm Chris Sedens, KNX News 97.1 FM.
Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has denied that a 21-day truce between Israel and Hezbollah is imminent. CBS News reporter Linda Gradstein reports from Jerusalem.
In a statement, the Prime Minister's office said the 21-day ceasefire is an American-French proposal that the Prime Minister hasn't even responded to yet. It also denied an Israeli TV report that Netanyahu has ordered the army to tone down strikes in Lebanon, saying the army will continue hitting Hezbollah with full force. Hezbollah fired dozens of rockets at northern Israel, and Israel continued airstrikes on Lebanon Thursday.
Now, Hezbollah has also not responded to the proposal for a pause in fighting, although Lebanon's prime minister says he welcomes it.
Helene has strengthened to a Category 2 hurricane as it moves toward Florida, expected to intensify even more before it makes landfall, maybe sometime this evening. Meteorologist for CBS David Parkinson says the storm surge could be catastrophic.
The most deadly part of this storm is going to be the storm surge. The threat now for 15 to 20 feet of storm surge in the Big Bend region of Florida. That's because essentially it's just an area where there's nowhere for the water to go, so it has to pile up, and like dropping a stone in water, the heavier the stone, the larger the ripple out, and that is what we're going to see as the storm increases in intensity.
Yeah, not just Florida getting ready. Helene also expected to hit other southeastern states. Severe flooding, heavy rain, possible tornadoes over the next few days.
Now, if there's anything good about that, which that's, you know, whatever. It's the Big Bend part of Florida, not in any major cities there. There are towns that could be affected by that storm surge. Tallahassee would be the closest city. Well, a new survey finds a lot of high school students do not plan to go to college.
The survey finds that high school students, both in the U.S. and globally, are having second thoughts about going to college. EAB's Yolanda Coleman warns there could be consequences for students who don't choose higher education.
There are far-reaching implications for students who may choose to forego a college degree over the course of their lifetime earnings when they are full-time employees.
Coleman says only 13% of counselors at private high schools say their students are rethinking college plans. Allison Keys, CBS News.
We will cut the red tape that stops homes from being built and take on, in addition, corporate landlords who are hiking rental prices.
Vice President Kamala Harris there, and also former President Donald Trump, very busy on the campaign trail this week, visiting several of those very important battleground states. And both candidates have been talking a lot about the economy, how their policies are going to help us, everyday Americans. Joining us live to talk about the race, USC professor and political strategist, Dan Schnur.
Hi, Dan. Good morning.
Yes, thanks so much for having me.
So they're talking about the economy a lot. Of course, it's a big issue for voters. But beyond that, I mean, it's promises. It's, you know, I'll do this, I'll do that. But it depends on a lot of things. How does that ultimately impact the voters? And again, does it change the undecideds in any way?
Both campaigns think it changes the undecideds. Let's put it that way. Voters have made it very clear that while they care deeply about issues like abortion, issues like immigration, that the economy is still front and center to them. And the fact that we saw the two nominees both giving major speeches this week, just 40 days before the election, on the economy, shows that both campaigns believe they still have some persuasion to do.
Dan, you know, every poll that we've seen about the economy, most of the trust goes underneath Donald Trump, again, when it comes to our money. Has that changed lately? And do you think that number will, do you think Kamala Harris can come closer to Trump gaining trust with the American public about the economy?
Well, you know, not surprisingly, just because Harris entered the race so late and under such unusual circumstances, since July, voters have been saying that they want to know more about what Harris intends to do on the economy. And as she's begun to talk about it more, you're exactly right. Trump maintains an advantage in the polls on who voters trust more on economic issues. But Harris has been gradually closing that gap, which is why I think that Trump came out and gave his speech yesterday. So he still has the advantage, but it's not what it once was. And he knows that along with border issues, those are his keys to a victory. And Harris knows, on the other hand, she has to close that gap if she's going to win.
Well, she's going to try to close the gap when she goes to the border in Arizona tomorrow. And we know that Donald Trump has also been treading into the abortion issue. What does each have to say on those issues to be convincing and own it in terms of the voters that they need?
And those might end up being the two most impactful issues in the campaign, even if voters rank the economy as their highest priority. Voters in both parties feel so strongly about the border and so strongly about abortion policy that could end up swinging this race. Now, Democrats have a very significant advantage with swing voters on abortion policy. This country's leaned much more heavily pro-choice since the Supreme Court ruled on Roe versus Wade 2 years ago. And the Republicans have just as much of an advantage on immigration policy. So what we're seeing this week is Harris at the border and Trump talking to female voters about returning abortion decisions at the state. They're not trying to win the issue. They're trying to mitigate their weakness so it doesn't hurt them too much.
Dan Schnur, thank you so much for joining us, USC professor and political strategist.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.